Hello and welcome to A Problem Squared, the problem-solving podcast, which is a lot like pi in that we have a habit of going on forever.
So true.
But unlike pi, we also have a habit of repeating ourselves.
So true.
Your hosts are myself, Beck Hill, and Matt Parker.
That's me.
Mm-hmm. And Matt, you are also like pi.
Oh, yeah.
Because you are maths related.
Correct.
And have a very large but niche fan base.
Huh. Yeah. And I think it overlaps a lot with pi's fan base.
Yeah, I think there is a, in, you're in the Venn diagram is yes. Essentially a circle.
Appropriate.
And I am also like pie because I'm full of chunks of meat and sometimes a little crusty.
So close. A little crusty.
A little crusty in the mornings.
Oh, fair enough. I have no follow-on questions.
In this episode,
I work out if pie can almost repeat itself.
I'll be staring at some stairs.
And we got any other business about me doing unnecessary detail in New York on the 14th of April. Ha! I got it in the menu as well.
Damn it. You didn't want to talk about Pi Day?
Oh, and that.
Hey, Matt.
Beck.
Well, I mean, now that I've mentioned it in the menu.
Pi Day.
I'm guessing because this episode comes out just before Pi Day.
Just before Pi Day. Monday before Pi Day.
Yes.
Very exciting.
Yeah, I've noticed that here... We celebrate Pi Day based on the American dating system.
We do. Only because we haven't got a better suggestion.
Right.
If we had a 31st of April, which we would write as 314, we'd have a superior Pi Day. But we don't. That date doesn't exist.
Yeah, that's true.
All we get is the 14th of March, which you have to write the wrong way around to get 314. But I'm not going to pass up an opportunity to celebrate Pi.
What about the 3rd of February, which is the 14th month if you count rollover?
No, I like what you're doing.
That's Valentine's
There's
Day.
More
Valentine's
to
Day is Pi Day.
About what Pi Day is.
No, I'm all right. Everyone, I want everyone to understand that I'm starting a rival Pi Day on Valentine's Day.
You've all got 11 months to get ready for it.
Yes. Because what is a love heart if not a circle with a point?
That's what they say.
2 points, technically. Yeah.
I think it was Euclid who said that.
Yeah.
So, it's Pi Day. Mm-hmm. I celebrate, well, I have now for almost a decade celebrated every Pi Day by calculating pi a ridiculous way.
Yes.
Which I kind of started doing by accident. And it just so happened the first time I did it.
Sorry. How did you do it by accident?
Well, I always liked calculating pi silly ways. And then when I first started doing my YouTube channel, one of the first videos I made, because I started at kind of the beginning of the year and then Pi Day came up. This was my original mini-oit. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, I should do a thing about pi. And so I calculated pi by weighing a circle to work out the value of pi.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Which I thought was very funny. And I didn't think anything else of it until the next Pi Day rolled around a year later, still doing YouTube. And I'm like, oh, what's another ridiculous way? And I quite like there are some infinite series where you're adding or subtracting like infinitely many terms, but the more you do, the closer you get to pi. So you get more digits as you do more of them. And there's a terrible one that I did. And so I thought it'd be kind of funny to do, worked it out on a big chalkboard, vaguely pie-ish, job done. What I didn't realize is I'd now set myself up into a rhythm where every year I calculate pi, every odd year I do some kind of ridiculous experiment to physically calculate pi. And on the in-between even years, I try and work it out by hand.
Yep.
And my working it out by hand gradually escalated. The next year, or 2 years later, I then did a better calculation, but it took me all day to try and get more digits. And then 2 years after that, I got five people in a room to help. And then 2 years after that, I had 20 to 30 people in a room for a weekend for 2 days to help. And then 2 years after that, which brings us up to this year, I had 200 people in a room.
Oh my goodness.
For 6 days calculating pi by hand.
Oh my God.
It's kind of got out of hand in that regard.
Yeah.
Yeah. We went all out.
Oh, my goodness. I'm nervous thinking about 2026.
Oh, yes. We'll get to that. So, our goal was... So, the current world record, if I may...
Yeah, you're using quotation marks as you say that.
Because no one's ever contested this record. Because the record was set before we had electronic computers to calculate pi.
Oh, okay.
We're not 100% sure if the person who did this, William Shanks... who calculated pi on and off between about 1850 and the 1870s, if they had any kind of mechanical calculator to help them. We don't know. So for now, we're assuming they did it all by hand until we have any evidence otherwise. They thought they had 707 digits correct. Nobody double checked.
Uh-huh.
In the 1940s, someone did double check, now with a mechanical calculator, yeah. And they realized they made a mistake in the 528th digit.
Oh.
So they put the effort in for 707, and 527 were correct. Mm-hmm. I really want to beat that.
I mean, you don't want to cross...
I want to have the record.
William, because I've heard that William Shanks...
William Shanks. Oh, Billy Shanks,
you've made all the jokes. It's great. So, yeah, so that's the record to beat.
That's the record to beat.
And it might be less than that, but hey, why not have a benchmark?
If we beat that, we would unambiguously have the world record for most digits.
And is that what you were going for?
We started with the capacity. If everything went perfectly, mm-hmm. we were in with a vague shot.
Can you explain to me how you calculate pi by hand?
Great question. So, there are a bunch of different equations that give you pi as the answer. But some of them are quite complicated. They contain lots of summation.
What's summation?
Where you're adding lots of things together.
Okay.
Some of them involve multiplying things together.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them involve factorials, which is those are the numbers where you're multiplying by every number smaller than them.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that they're not good is they get very big very quickly.
Okay.
Some of them involve square roots or other kind of roots, which are very difficult to do by hand. Some involve raising things to weird powers, like non-integer powers, which are difficult to do by hand. And some of them involve dividing very big numbers by each other, which is hard to do by hand.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason we have all these complicated equations is because most of the time, mathematicians only care about, is it a cool equation that gives you pi? Mm-hmm. And the actual practical ones are optimized, for one definition of practical, are optimized for computers to do.
Right.
They're not optimized for humans to do. So I had to go through all these different equations and try and find one which could be done, first of all, could be done by humans by hand.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, could be split up between a lot of humans to all do it once.
Yeah, because that's where I sort of get stuck, because I'm like, how do you divide up the sum?
So first of all, we picked an equation. I say we, me and the Council of Calculating Pi by Hand. We picked an equation, which is actually seven different equations. And at the end, you've just got to add their results together.
Okay.
So each one That's can nice. Be done separately. So already now we've got seven different things that can be done independent of each mm-hmm. other. Within each one, it actually splits into a whole bunch of things you've got to add together. And you can kind of, once you've started, like let's say you've calculated the first one, you've done the first 20 digits of it.
Mm-hmm.
We were doing them in 20 digit chunks. So the first person does the long division to get the first 20 digits. They can then hand that on to the next person who uses it to get the first 20 digits of the next term, who then hands it on to the next person to get the first 20 digits of the next term.
Okay.
But meanwhile, the people who did the first 20 digits of the first term, they've now done 20 to 40 digits, then they've done 40 to 60, and they're working their way down.
Got it.
So you've got some people who are doing digits further and further into one of the many, many different things we need to know.
Mm-hmm.
And other people are taking what's already been done and starting on the subsequent things we have to do.
Yeah, my brain is sort of imagining like a family tree, like a sort of flow chart.
Very much like a family tree. Yeah. But it's weird because depending on what you're doing, so we call each sheet is a chunk. So the goal was, in terms of the end user, we had, oh goodness, somewhere between 300 and 400 unique humans came and helped out at some point in time.
Yeah.
For each human calculator, all they have to do is walk up to one of the handing out tables we had,
mm-hmm.
get a sheet, and all the sheets are long division. They'll have a big number at the top. They'll have a smaller number they have to divide into it. And they go away and do that long division, accurate to 20 digits. And mm-hmm. then they bring and hand it back in again.
Yeah.
So from the end user's point of view, you're just doing lots of long division. From our point of view, running the machine, each sheet that's done, the things like the answer has to go to two different places, to two different sheets. But some of the sheets require two different bits of information to come in before they can be sent out
right.
to be divided. And the logistics behind tracking all of these sheets and making sure the right things are copied into the right place with no mistake. Because we can't, a single mistake and we're sunk.
Is there like a quality control element? Is there anyone that checks someone else's sheet after they've done it?
So we sent out each sheet three times. Independently.
Wow.
Waited until two came back that matched.
Yeah.
That was the first verification.
Mm-hmm.
That was done by the verification station. They would then pass it on to the mod squad, who would do a modular arithmetic check, which is where you do, like, you can't use it to get the answer in the first place, but you can redo the calculation They were doing it, for people who are familiar with these things, Modular 9 and Modular 11. And I mean, Mod 10 you kind of get for free. And then they would compare the results from those to make sure it lined up with the answer that was on the sheet. So it's a way of doing a real shortcut version of the calculation, but it will indicate if the one on the page is probably correct or not. By doing that, we found on one of the long divisions, two different people doing the same division both made the same mistake at exactly the same place.
Mm.
And that meant it passed the verification check of comparing their answers. Yeah. Their answers were identical, but they just accidentally made the same mistake at the same time. And if you're doing, we were doing thousands of sheets.
Yeah, I was going to say that's like human errors. So it's going to happen. Yeah.
Yeah. But the mod squad caught it because it didn't pass the mod test.
Huh.
We estimate the mod squad would catch 90% of mistakes that got to it.
Wow.
Which is good, but...
but still leaves 10%.
Still leaves 10% chance. And if we were to do this again for even more digits... so the video came out today on the 11th of March when this podcast goes out.
Okay.
So...
so the listeners know something that I don't.
Potentially. But I don't want to ruin the surprise if you haven't seen the video yet. So I'm going to give away most of the result.
Okay.
We, at the end of 6 days, with a lot of people, had calculated 140 digits of pi. Calculated, not checked.
Okay.
We then had to check that against the real value of pi. Last time we did this, we got 11. 11 digits correct.
Oh.
We want more than that.
Wait, hang on. When you say 11 digits correct.
Yeah.
Do you mean like in the places they're supposed to
be? In the place where they're supposed to be. Yes, yes, yes.
What, like the first 11 digits?
The first 11. Yeah, yeah. At the beginning, we got 3.141596 and so on for the first 11 digits. And then we had a mistake.
And then the rest of it is...
and the rest is wrong.
So you...
so but that, we only had you, like 30 people for 2 days then.
Yeah, but you had 30 people for 2 days and you calculated by 11.
Stop it, stop it. I know, I know. Look.
Yeah, no.
You're late to the party. A lot of people have already found that very funny. Yeah,
I know.
But I think you deserve your moment to appreciate it.
Thank you. Yeah, it's very funny.
Your response is valid.
But I would also say that, I mean, you know me, I'm always about going the long, fun way, even if it's wrong.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's more fun.
Yes.
So I applaud and appreciate that effort.
So it would have been very embarrassing to get hundreds of people together for a week. Only get 11 correct.
Yeah.
So I can reveal for our listeners that we made over 100 digits.
Okay, that's impressive.
It is astounding.
Even if it's 101, I'm impressed.
I'm not going to tell you how many over we got.
It's still impressive.
But we locked in over 100 digits correct.
I'll be honest.
I couldn't believe it.
Because I don't understand what like you've, even though you've explained to me what goes into calculating it.
Oh, it's a whole thing.
I'm still like, oh, I thought you would have gotten way over 500 and whatever. Must have
been
easy.
You've got to see the chaos that led to.
I also forget, like, what if I was to write out, like, as if
how
I was
long,
tallying
yeah,
for
yeah.
500 and something. That in itself is, like, long, never mind doing the maths to.
For me, it was a real experience. Like, you think you know pi, but watching that chaos, and yet you get these exact digits out the other side. Like, why? Why on earth did that ridiculous
very
calculation?
Emotional.
Yeah, I was very emotional. It's pretty special beginning to end.
Awesome.
So, and how have you been, Beck?
I'm good. I'm good. Speaking of YouTube videos, you finally watched mine.
I did.
Yeah.
I did, of my own free will.
Yes.
It's not like you came around to my house and sat me down and said, watch the video.
I was like, Matt, it's 6 minutes long.
Oh, that did happen. That is
and you're
happened.
In
yes,
it.
Yes, yes. I mean, I consume a lot of YouTube, big YouTube fan, as well as making it. You've done what a lot of people on YouTube don't do, and you've put thought and structure into the whole video as a whole.
Well,
which I really like.
You could say that
you work as an actual comedy writer.
It's a good starting place, I figure.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Excellent start to Yoit, the year of YouTube.
Thank you. I was mainly just wanted to make sure that you were happy with your cameo.
It's good. The only thing I regret is I should have given you some B-roll of me buying the snacks in Japan.
Oh, yeah.
That
well.
Would have been nice. It's good. It's short. No YouTube video is ever finished. At some point, you just got to draw a line under it and put it
out. I think it was Da Vinci that once said that.
I think it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I do have a little bit of other stuff to say because this comes out on the 11th.
Other than everyone go watch the video?
Yes. I know that Pi Day is coming up for you, but last night, well, I guess both UK and US time, was the Oscars. maybe I'm just announcing this after it's already happened and there's nothing anyone can do about it, but I'm going to be doing a little spot on... Oh. Jonathan Ross is going to be doing a little pre-Oscars companion show before they start streaming live from the States. And so I'm going to go on with some flip chart, with flip chart and do some... Yeah. Moving flip chart stuff. Yeah. So it should be fun. But there were some suggestions that I had... like one of them was, I wanted, let's see if you can guess what this would have been.
Okay.
If I'd drawn it. It's a picture of Nicolas Cage.
Yep.
And he's got a very big breast on him.
Just the one?
Yeah.
Right.
The breast is then is put on onto him, like a pin the tail on a donkey type thing.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So you got to guess what
the guess what the film is.
Yeah. And I'm going to say it's more of a say what you see. Don't get thrown by the fact that it's an actor.
Nicolas Cage.
No, but you're kind of like, you're so close to it already.
Tit on Nick.
What?
Titanic?
Yeah.
No, that's so dumb.
Yeah.
That's so dumb.
Beck. Yeah, the execs didn't like that.
Yeah, so how about that?
Vetoed.
Kind of you made me side with TV execs.
Well, thanks everyone for sticking with us because this was quite a long
catch-up. That's a lot of catch-up.
I think very fascinating.
Let's hope so. It's Pi Day.
This first problem is for you, Matt.
Yep.
It's from No Name.
They didn't enter a name. They went to the problem posing page at problemsquared.com.
Yep.
Skipped right over that. No, I mean, no text fields are compulsory.
No, that's it. They don't. That's they don't how, have that's to how we live. Name.
You choose what you want to fill in.
Maybe you left us this problem.
It could be me.
No, I meant the listener.
No, the listener. You. Yeah, you. Yeah.
For you, I mean, I wouldn't put it past you, Matt, because surprise, surprise.
pretty mouthy.
It's about pie.
Ooh, on brand.
So, can numbers like pi almost repeat themselves? Like, could pi go 3.14...
Stuff. Yeah,
1, 2, 3, followed by 3.14...
Almost again.
1, 2, 4.
Yeah.
My instincts are telling me no, but I don't really have the math knowledge to back that instinct up. This came up because I had an idea for a short story where a supercomputer calculating the digits to pi has an existential crisis because pi seemingly starts repeating. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would read a short story about a supercomputer having an existential crisis.
I don't think anything I'm going to say is not going to devalue that.
Yeah.
Great story idea.
Yeah. And we can all take it now because you haven't left
steal
a name.
It. Everyone, go.
No one steal it. But if you do write this short story, please let us know. But in the meantime...
Can pi almost repeat?
I mean, if it's technically infinite, then yes.
Well, I mean, do they want it to start repeating from the beginning or do they just want like a patch that repeats partway through? And they're subtly different questions. So you know what? I'm going to give you one of my favorite facts about pi. There's a thing called a pi prime, which is where you start from the beginning of pi with the 3.14159.
A pime.
And you keep going. And you see how many digits, if you stop there, everything so far is a prime number. So it works for one digit because 3 is prime.
Okay.
It works for two digits because 31 is a prime number.
Oh, okay, yep.
3.1.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't work for 3 because 314 is not a prime number. It's even for a start. And so the first couple are 3.14159 is a prime number.
Okay.
And it works for the first 38 digits. That's a big prime number. And you think, oh, I wonder when the next one's going to be. The one after that is 16,208 digits.
Ooh, that's a big old leap.
That's a big one, yeah. And the one after that is 47,000 something digits.
Okay, but that's a less of a leap than...
That's true. Yeah, yeah. There's just a big gap.
Because instantly my brain's like, ooh, any patterns? Because my brain likes to do that. But no. I don't immediately see any patterns.
It's just because each next digit... becomes less likely to make it prime.
Mm-hmm.
And so once you're kind of escaped from the small numbers where there are a bunch of primes, once your number's got any kind of length to it, it now becomes really unlikely that each subsequent digit is going to make it prime.
Yep.
Because there's just a smaller percentage of numbers of prime at that size.
Of course, yeah.
And so that once you've hit that escape velocity, once you've escaped
got
the small
it.
Numbers, it's very unlikely it'll stop. But for the case of primes, likely enough. That, you know, once you're in the tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of digits, you've had so many chances for it to be prime, eventually it will stop and be prime.
Mm.
How do we apply this now to repeating? Will the same digits repeat at any point?
Mm.
Well, first I thought I'd just look for repeating sections inside Pi.
Yeah.
So I thought, I wonder, I've got a document on my laptop.
Yep.
Which has the first 1 million digits of Pi.
Is this going to at some point involve some terrible Python code?
Oh, whoa, Beck. I don't know if you noticed.
Can I smell that?
It's coming. It's terrible Python code. I don't know if you noticed this morning after I got back from my bike ride.
Okay, yeah.
I then sat down because you were working at the dining room table.
Yes.
And Lucy was having a call in the front room.
Mm-hmm.
I then sat down at the dining room table while the coffee was being made.
Yep.
And I knocked together some terrible Python code.
Fantastic.
Because I was like, I've already got a million digits of Pi here.
Yeah.
For people curious, it's from when we filmed a video years ago for Numberphile where we printed out the first 1 million digits of Pi. Great. And I did a walking tour of Pi. And I'm like, oh, you can see this number here and this bit's over nice. Here. And so I wrote some code that would take the million digits and I could search for different things.
Mm-hmm.
So I just dusted off that code and rewrote a bunch of it to search for repeated strings in Pi.
Yeah.
So the question is, what do you think is the longest repeated section? So you have a run of digits and then immediately followed by the same run of digits again. How long a run do you think you'll get in a million digits of Pi? I'm going to bring up the results while you're having
as a in thing. Like you know, the same five digits are the same. Yeah. Or six okay.
Yeah,
the longest run in a million. And if there's one thing I've learned, it's that a million is bigger than I think it is.
Big. Having walked, we printed them out tiny little digits.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a mile to walk.
No, digits. What?
Yeah, is so, a million,
that's
such
a long
big
piece
number.
Of paper.
It was a ridiculously long piece of paper.
Was it done on like one of those old-fashioned ticker machines? What are they called?
No, I don't, like the old stock market ticker, yeah, yes. Yeah. No, like what Mr. Burns has. No.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brady, who got it printed for Numberphile, found a printer in, I think it was, I want to say Belgium, somewhere like that. And what they used was, you can buy very, very long rolls of
like
packaging
paper?
Brown oh. paper. So it's brown paper, but it's not plastic, but it's slightly waterproof, it's, and a bit more robust than you'd expect.
Yeah, I know. This almost like wax paper.
Yeah, almost like wax paper.
Mm.
And what they did was they just cut the end 20 centimeters off a massive roll, because when you buy them from the factory to go to the packaging plant, it's like huge rolls of the stuff. Mm. And they just sliced the 20 centimeters off the end of a roll. And so now he had a 1 mile long piece of
wow.
paper that's like 20 or whatever it was, centimeters wide. Printing on that was a non-trivial task.
Did you please tell me you did a video just about the paper?
Yes. Brady did a whole second video about how it was printed.
Okay, good. Because that's my kind of...
It had to go through the printer twice because I requested labels. I said, we're going to get so lost in Pi. Like, I wrote a bit of terrible Python code. We could look at the Pi in front of us because we put it on a runway at an airport.
Great.
We could look at the Pi in front of us and type in a few digits and hit go, and it would tell, oh, you're at this point in Pi.
Okay, yeah.
But I was like, it'd be way easier if we could just label every 10,000th digit or something like that.
All right. You didn't label it like a ruler. Like every 100
meters. No, it just
meters.
Flags up. I think we might have done every 1,000 digits or something, but it was done by running it through the printer twice. So one print run put all the digits on the bit of paper, and the second print time through the printer put all the locations through.
Oh, man, I'm such a sucker for that stuff. I love
it was
seeing
a
how
logistical,
stuff is made.
It was a whole thing. At the end of the day, everyone kind of packed up into the cars because we had like support cars driving us along Pi.
Yeah.
And everyone drove back to the beginning. And I was like, no, I want to walk. And so everyone else drove back. Mm. And I was by myself. It wasn't raining, but it was like that kind of weather. And I could just see Pi to the horizon. And so I just started walking. And I spent like 20 minutes, whatever it is, walking by myself along Pi. It was a religious experience.
I was going to say, that's quite the mental image.
Yeah, really. And like just like walking for so long with these tiny digits, one after the other. Mm. But they're all so certain. It's similar to, you know, when we calculated 100 and they matched.
Yeah, I was going to say, it feels like another emotional
moment. A million
moment.
Digits that are all so seemingly random, but so defined.
Mm.
Ah, incredible. Yeah. Anyway, so that was a lot of fun. A million is a big number. It's a lot of digits of Pi.
Yes. Yes. And your question to me was, how long do I think a patch of numbers would be that matches another patch of numbers?
Yeah.
And now that I know how long that would be if it was just written out, I don't know, 10.
Oh, good guess. 5.
Ah, damn. Do you know what? I was going to say 6.
Yeah.
6
felt. It's a tough one because there's no intuition
to go off. I said 5 to start with.
You did say 5. And I was like, oh, I was avoiding saying a number.
Yeah.
So the first batch of 5, which occurs at position. So this is digit 107,472
mm-hmm.
Ish. This is terrible Python code.
Yep.
There's probably an off by one error in there. It's around there. Within a couple.
The old TPC.
The old terrible Python code. 64015.
That's my phone number. No, it's not.
That repeats twice. So Pi, once you're 107,472 digits in, goes 64015, 64015. So it repeats for 5 digits.
64015.
Yeah, in a million. And I don't think it gets more likely. Like, I know we know Pi now to tens of trillions of digits. Mm. I suspect we're not getting much bigger. Well, it would be bigger than that. But maybe it might only be 10, maybe a bit more. It's not going to be long. So Pi is, we think, what's called a normal number. And normal in this context in maths means any group of digits are equally likely.
Mm.
So if you pick 5 digits at, you know, random, that's as likely to appear in Pi as any other group of 5 digits.
Yeah.
And we've not proven that, but as far as we can tell, it's true for Pi. It's a very hard thing to prove for numbers.
Imagine that we got to a point where we like calculated pi to like quadrillion or whatever. Well, and then afterwards, it repeats from the beginning.
From the beginning.
But like, obviously, like the final number has to be wrong.
I mean, it could. There's nothing stopping it from repeating from the beginning. Mm. But it won't definitely just keep doing that over and over. Like, it could do it once.
Yeah.
And then other stuff. We know that. We've proven that. We're very confident in that. Now, the issue with getting repeating patches is if you've got a run of 5 digits, which is one of 100,000 options, the chance of the next 5 being the same is 1 in 100,000.
Yeah.
Which is why I'm not surprised the first one happened at 107,000 digits in. Like, that's about right.
Yeah, yeah.
So each time you want to have one more digit, it's 10 times less likely to occur.
Okay.
And will probably happen 10 times on average further into pi.
Yeah, I got it.
So if you know 10 times as much pi, the string of repeating digits you're likely to find goes up by 1.
Right.
So it's real unlikely. And that's before we get to if you want it to start at the beginning.
Yeah.
Because we're going to have that same problem where once you're a few in, like once you're 100 digits in, and we know it doesn't repeat in the first 100 digits, the chance of the next one happening is 1 in 10 to the power of 100, like 1 in a Google.
Got it. Yeah. So if we don't have a repeat of 3, 1, 4...
Something near the start.
Something, whatever. Yeah. Then, yeah, what you're saying is we're getting further and further away from the start until that 3, 1, 4 has to happen again. Yep. In which case, yeah, it's going to be... I imagine.
The probability of the whole next block matching is 1 over 10 to how many digits we've done so far.
Yeah. Because also this unnamed person, they haven't necessarily said how long it would need to be something that feels like it's repeating itself.
Oh, that's very true. And they did.
Because you could say it's just 2 digits.
They did say almost. So there is some flexibility. Like, you know, maybe like 1 digit in the middle is wrong. But mm-hmm. That's not going to, it'll gain you a bit, but not a lot.
Mm.
And it's even worse than the primes because each time you go one longer, because you're thinking, well, sure, it's very unlikely, but pi never stops. However, the probability is not like converging on some kind of non-zero value.
Mm.
My hand-wavy argument, and people can maybe put this on more rigorous footing than me, is it converges to zero. So the probability tends to zero. It doesn't matter if you've got infinitely many digits. It's a zero probability chance of getting that repeat because the chance of it happening gets small so fast.
So some people would argue that if something is infinite, then it increases the possibility of something happening.
Yes.
But however, something being infinite also means that it increases the impossibility of something happening.
Yeah, because what we want to happen depends on how far we are into quote unquote infinity so far.
Yeah.
And the getting difficultness as you go infinitely far, gets bigger faster.
Yeah, like if it was
happeningness.
1 out of 3, something will happen. 2 out of 3, something won't happen.
Yeah.
And if we just would go, okay, let's like expand that. Let's just like go make it big. Then you've still got more chance of it not happening than you do of it happening.
Yes.
But more complicated than that.
More complicated than that. Yes.
But this is the first step my brain is taking to sort of vaguely understand what you're saying.
Great. Zero step. But the problem is both probability and tending to infinity are famously woolly and complicated things in mathematics. Mm-hmm. But to a very simple, and I'm hand
to a very simple-minded person such as yourself,
such as me. No, I'm just saying very, very hand wavy.
Yeah,
this is the vague sense of what's going on.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Like how emojis don't really tell you exactly how you feel. Feeling.
Yeah,
but. They're a zero
better than,
step.
They're better than the null message. Yeah,
I think you've absolutely answered that.
Oh,
and,
thank you.
And I think that this no-name person has, I mean, it's a great concept for a story because I've almost had an existential crisis.
It's a good story.
While trying to wrap my head around this. I love
it. Write that story.
Yeah. That's a great answer. Thanks, Matt.
My
I'm going to give that a ding, 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 because it's repeating itself.
Oh, repeating dings. Next problem, put into the problem posing page, and they did enter a name, Jelly, Gel,
or Yell,
or Yell,
or Yelly.
Well, let's go with Yell. So this is Yell.
Or
speaking.
Hell,
Hell,
depending on where they're from. There's a J. It starts with a J.
J E L L E says that they have a solid 1 meter by 1 meter by 1 meter cube
one
of
meter
unknown
cubed.
Substance. And they want to cut it. Okay, so this I think is a confusing way to put it. They want to cut it around the diagonal of the XY plane. Let's not worry about that for now.
Okay.
They want to cut the cube. That's what we're taking away from this.
Right.
To produce two sets of stairs. Or in other words, this is Jill speaking again. They want to build two sets of stairs to use in a stage play. So I guess like a fancy prop. Such that one stair... I guess I'll set a stairs, can be put on the other one to form a perfect cube. Also, the stairs should be walkable on by an adult human. Well, that depends what the cube's made of, Jill.
Yes.
I guess. But they want to have two sets of stairs,
mm-hmm.
such that if you stack one on top of the other,
yep.
these two identical sets of stairs form a complete cube.
Yep.
Okay. We got it. They say that after a few paper experiments, it seems to be impossible to produce two identical stairs. One always seems to have more stairs. This is a good problem.
Mm.
It's deemed impossible. That's where we come in. They want to know, is it really impossible for stairs to be identical? If so, what shape of stairs could be close to identical? And they then go on, blah, blah, blah. Thanks for awesome podcast. If people want to have a go at solving this themselves, now is a good time to pause. Give it a go. Because, Beck, have you got a solution for us?
Yes. So... I love this because this is like a puzzle to me and I love puzzles. And so, your first instinct is to draw a square that represents a cube and then you sort of
draw
some steps.
Yeah.
And when you're drawing the steps, you know, if you're sort of doing them like cube shaped or whatever, you do find that if you go from like the one step up.
Yeah.
And then to the and then across you're and then up again another step and across. And if you're doing that in sort of even... cubes,
yep,
even squares, steps. Then what happens is you come out the diagonal top of your square on the like the same side of that diagonal. Does this make sense?
Only because I did get a bit of paper and try and do this.
Yeah.
If
you're able to, you should do it right.
Try it.
You should try it right now. But essentially what it means is you end up with a smaller side.
Yes.
That you've got one side that's got, so let's say I've got a 3x3 square.
Yep.
That first square is your first step.
First step.
Next two squares.
Yep.
That's your next step up. And then the next three squares.
Yep.
You know, going upwards.
Three steps.
That's your final step. But then
way
the other bit left
square.
Over, you've only
it's
got
like three tiny bits.
You've only got like one step, two step up. And then, yeah. So then.
How embarrassing.
But I was like,
it's weird. I guarantee the first time you try this, if you don't put any thought into it in advance, you will draw asymmetric stairs.
Yes. Yeah. And I realized I'd had a similar problem to this because in a flip chart that I recently made and filmed, actually this one is on you. This one's
also
on YouTube.
Yeah.
It's called This Page is the First and Also the Last. On one of the pages, there's a broken heart. And when I was drawing the broken heart, I was trying to do like the break
like
in the middle.
Yeah.
And I was trying to do it so that they had like an even number of
pointy bits.
Yeah. Pointy bits. But that was really hard.
Same problem.
And so I was like, oh, I've come across this before. I was sitting with you when this problem came in and I was like, this doesn't seem right. I feel like there is definitely an answer. And we had very different ways of doing it. And my way was hands-on.
I like your way. That's good.
So I was like, do you have any anything cube-shaped? You had a bunch of die.
I went and got the dice box from upstairs.
Yes.
I was like, wait here. And I ran up and I came back with a box of dice.
Yes.
Most of which are not cubes, but enough were.
No. And then I instinctively went to do a cube of 3x3x3.
Yep.
I don't know why. That's just always my instinct. 3x3.
It's a classic. Yeah. You're obsessed by the Rubik's Cube.
That's true. Do you know what? I was playing with the Rubik's Cube moment. So that's definitely where my brain went. And I was like, oh, this is impossible. And then I realized that 3x3x3.
Yeah.
It's 27.
Yep.
It's an odd number.
Odd number.
So I can't get an even number of cubes.
Can't divide that by two.
Then you were like, well, just do an even number of... And I was like, you have to do it. So I was like, of course. So I did a 4x4.
I don't think I used that tone of voice.
No, you didn't. That was me. That was me being like silly with myself.
I told you as we were doing this last night, I said, tomorrow when we're in the office recording the episode, I both have a lot of dice in the office.
Yes.
I can see three different containers or bags that are full of dice.
Including a jar that I'll try and guess later.
I'm sure you're not allowed near. I've also got like cubes that link together. Would you like a bunch of cubes that link together?
Yes, please.
Wait there. They're under my desk.
While Matt gets those, I'll explain what I did. So I realized that 4x4x4x4 is 64, which means that then I need to make half a cube that looks like stairs that consists of 32 cubes. If I could build up something that looks like two sets of stairs that uses 32 of each and they're identical but then match together, then I've solved this.
For the listeners at home, these are all the cubes that I used. I did a video about how you can find all the 3D nets of the 4D hypercube. And then I showed how they can tile to fill space. And so Bex basically got big chunks of those that were left over that she's going to pull some cubes off. I sat down and I realized that if you think about it, like from a square point of view, it's fine because you're basically going to cut one side all the way through and you end up with a prism of whatever your staircase looks like. So I realized that the issue is that you instinctively want to put one of the corners of the stairs right in the center, but that doesn't work. And so I thought, well, if that doesn't work, and hypothetically, if there is a way to do this, I need to do it the other way. And so I realized the other way was to put the center right in the middle of one of the steps, like halfway across the flat. And so I drew a square, I put a dot in the middle for the center, and I'm going to resketch this now so we can all see it. And I then drew the middle flat first, a third of the way across. And then I just kind of joined up the rest. So I filled that in like that, and I filled that in like that. And that, there you are. That's two identical halves.
So you have drawn a picture of the first step starts about a quarter of a way up.
Yep.
Yeah. And then, so that's sort of, if that first bit was a cube, like that first square, that first step could be a cube from the floor up.
Yes.
But then I would say the next one is like two cubes across.
They're each a quarter.
Yeah.
Height, and they're a third of the length of the cube across. So that each of these runs is a third, and each of these heights is up as a quarter.
My brain is just calculating.
Tell you what, let me do another sketch. Let me know if this is better.
Because I would say that isn't that essentially one, and then that's two, and then that's one. If you were to draw this as a...
Oh yeah, but I've just drawn that badly. That should be they can all be the same. It can all be a third.
Yeah. It's like just longer steps.
Yeah, looks like an IKEA manual. There you are.
Get
a friend and make that out of a cube.
Yeah. So the short answer is yes.
Yes, and this method would generalize. You could do this for more steps. So if you wanted more and smaller steps, you'd split it in one direction up into an odd number of pieces, in the other direction into an even number, and then you would zigzag your way up.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you want tiny steps for tiny feet.
Yeah. And if you want mine, which I'm still building.
Oh, it's coming along nicely.
I'll finish that afterwards, and then we'll take a picture and we'll put it on the socials.
Yeah.
But my version, to be fair, in all honesty, I would go with yours, Matt. They look more like traditional stairs. They'd be much easier to use, a lot less chance of falling around. But if you want to get all fancy, my version sort of goes from
yours
a corner.
Are more theatrical, if I may.
It is more theatrical, and you could put them together to make almost like a half a pyramid type set of stairs if you wanted to sit them up against each other.
Well, I want you to finish yours. I think you should do both halves. I want to see them.
I'm going to.
Oh, good.
I'm going to.
Oh, you
but
do
I'm,
that.
I'm going to wait till we take a break so that so that people can go.
Ah, right. Okay. Yeah. We'll have a break. You can do that. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But in the magical listening land.
It's done. Oh my goodness.
Gosh. It's amazing. If you want to see a photo of it, go to A Problem Squared on Instagram or on Twitter.
So I'm prepared to say that yours are way more theatrical. I love them.
Thank you.
Mine are deeply boring and functional.
But I love them. Like,
yeah. But between
yours
us.
Yours makes sense to me.
We have shown it is possible. So the problem technically is it really impossible for the stairs to be identical? We've managed to show, no, it's not impossible. And it's proof by doing one version each.
Yeah.
Proof by sticking concept. Cubes together. Love it. The end.
Yeah. And I want to see a photo of these stairs on stage.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Jelly, so, let us know what you end up doing.
Yeah, yeah. If you end up making them, take a photo of it during the play.
Oof. No rush. Sometime in the next couple of years, we want a photo.
Yeah. Upload it. Send us a link on the problem posing page. And just like pie, we're at any other business.
There's always more business in pie.
Because it starts with three letters, AOB, and has a point, which is 1-4. No, I'm trying real hard.
I like what
guys.
You're doing.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm getting there. But let's just get into it. What's our any other business? You pulled out a package and now I'm excited about
it. I've pulled out a package.
Yeah, okay. Not a euphemism.
Would you like to open this? Oh, you know what? I'm going to open it and I'm going to reveal the contents.
Oh, that's so mean.
I know. I dangled it in front of you and then I took it away.
I know.
You're like,
do you want to get the button? Oh, I'm going to get it instead. You're the guy in the lift no one likes.
Ready?
Yep. Oh, okay.
Could you describe for the listeners what I have just removed from the bag?
Matt has just pulled out his book that he has not finished writing yet.
Correct. It raises a lot of questions.
Yes, but you have pulled out what I imagine the book is exactly going to look like once it is available.
You've correctly worked out this is not the book. For a start, the back is completely blank.
Okay.
Yeah. I hadn't seen this before.
But this seems to be like a cover.
Yep. And the inside.
Is this not a proof copy of your book?
No, it's... So the inside is someone else's book. It's The Trading Game by Gary Stevenson.
Amazing.
Also published by Alan Lane. So the same imprint at Penguin as me.
Does this mean that someone else is getting your book?
Oh, I guess so.
With their cover
on? Do I pay it forward? So my people at Penguin got in touch and said, look, we've made a mock-up version of your book for photography reasons because they're doing promo stuff. And they're like, do you want it? And I'm like, yeah.
Of course, yeah.
So there it is. So they posted me someone else's book with a mock-up of what the cover of my book would look like on it.
Yes. I love it. It's a great, it's a very eye-catching.
Yeah. I quite like it. It's a good cover. Like this is the UK cover for people. There's a different cover in the US.
So your third book's going to be called Love Triangle.
Well, Love Triangle.
Perfect. It's third book.
Pre-sales have just started, which is very exciting.
Yes.
If people want to pre-order the book, it'll be out in the UK on the 20th of June and out in the US on the 20th of August.
Awesome.
This year, 2024.
And I can see that the subtitle of your book is The Life-Changing Magic of Trigonometry. I've got to say, I'm very sad that they didn't go with your original choice for a subtitle.
Getting triggy with it.
Yeah.
Correct. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You can only make so many great suggestions.
I know.
Before you just got to go with what they got. So very excited about this. And we'll put some links in the description. So if you pre-order it, that really helps me. But if you can't afford the hardback, or if you pre-order it through my website, it's full price, but I sign it and you will probably still get a limited edition dust jacket. If you pre-order it somewhere else, it's cheaper, particularly if you're in North America, because postage for me to send it to you from the UK is quite expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So we will link to a variety of places where you can pre-order it.
Yes.
Below.
Yes.
Including Waterstones, who they got in touch with. My publisher went to them and said, hey, could you offer a discount for Matt's
fans.
Listeners and viewers and fans, yeah. And they're like, oh, yeah, sure, we can do up to 20% off.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, 21 is a triangle number. So if you made it 21% off.
You're the guy where someone at the other end is getting the emails going, ugh.
So true.
This guy.
They're like, fine, 21% off. What code would you like?
You now realize there's going to be other people who are like, oh, but Matt Parker got 21%.
I know. Yeah, but I had a good math reason for it.
Yeah.
And they're like, what code? You want triangle discount or, you know, stand up maths, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, if I'm allowed plus and equal signs.
What's your code, Matt?
The code is 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4 plus 5 plus 6 equals 21. So it's a triangle number.
Yes.
So if you pre-order on Waterstones UK edition, 21% off. If you pre-order through me, 0% off.
But a signed.
But I will sign it. You'll have a signed first edition.
Yeah.
With a limited edition dust jacket that I will give you for free. So the choice is yours. Or wait for it to come out in paperback. It'll be much cheaper then.
Yes.
That's my any other business. Any other literal business. I'm doing business.
You are.
Yeah. Closing deals. Making sales.
Nice one. Well, thanks everyone. Let's bring you down a notch.
Uh-oh.
Because we got a response to the poll that we did for our Californian episode.
I haven't seen it yet, but I suspect it's going to remind me why I hate democracy so much.
So we did an LA episode and our question in that was about the Hollywood stars.
Yes.
And if you were to follow that in alphabetical order, then what distance would you cover sort of going in between all the stars? And you went, okay, I'll go for the first name, because some things weren't names, some things are like
I went by TV whatever shows. String of characters was on the star.
Yes. And some, I think it was three of them started with punctuation.
Yeah, like a asterisk for NSYNC.
Yeah.
Like a quote mark for Weird Al.
Yes.
Yeah, and I included, if they put the punctuation on the star, I used it as part of the text string that I then sorted.
You were like, how does Excel sort it? Yep. If Excel, because I was like, how do you know if an asterisk comes before a quotation mark? And you were like, that's how Excel does it.
Yep.
I thought maybe it's to do with a QWERTY keyboard. That's a whole other question.
Different question.
My argument was, that's dumb.
That was your whole argument. That's a good point.
I say Weird Al Yankovic, I'm not doing quotation marks with my fingers every time I say it. Like, it is just a given. And so I was like, Weird Al Yankovic should just be listed
under W
for Weird Al.
I'm having a look.
And we did a poll.
Oh, dear. That is decisive.
Yeah.
You know what's, I don't know if this is better or worse, because if it was like 98% against me and 2% for, then I'm very clearly in the wrong.
Yeah.
Totally misguided. The results, if I may reveal them, are against me 64.8%. With me, 35.2. So I'm wrong, according to the people, but totally wrong. Like one in three people agree.
Is an idiot. Yeah. Though I
can't believe 2/3 of you would disrespect Weird Al like this.
I think you're disrespecting Weird Al.
Why? By using every character in their name.
By suggesting that Weird Al's the first letter of Weird Al's name is a quotation open mark. Quote.
Okay. I mean, I can't argue. The results are in.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which does bring me on to any other business about the Hollywood stars.
Yep.
Alan wrote into the problem posing page.
Yep.
Selected solution in the drop down. And said, a possible explanation for the incongruence between the... I just had to make sure I was pronouncing that right. Between the experimental Hollywood star distance and theoretical distance is that certain names would be disproportionately more common within certain generations who would all age up and get stars at similar times.
Okay.
Which is similar to our... I believe it was the last episode where we talked about names trends with names and everything. So it's funny how these sort of linked... They said, for example, a bunch of Michaels born in 1970 might all grow up to be famous during a certain prime, become famous enough for a star window. Therefore,
they're all put in together.
Exactly. Therefore, a small but significant amount of Michaels would all get stars at a similar time and be nearer to each other.
Interesting.
Which
it might be interesting to look at the distribution of dates they were installed and where.
Yeah. And if the distances between some of them clump. So I thought that was really interesting.
Good solution.
Another thing I noticed pop up on the A Problem Squared Reddit.
Oh, yeah.
Which I occasionally have a little
good on you.
A little lurk in. Yeah. Was that Chad. Got a shout out in the episode. Said, I'm so excited. Now I need to look up Charles Butterworth. Because we mentioned that in the Hollywood stars.
Yeah, everyone's favorite.
Person.
Butterworth.
We were like, oh yeah, he probably looks like a you know, a butler or something like that.
Yep.
Chad did a little deep dive into Charles Butterworth, said Reddit never disappoints, and then has linked to another Reddit thread where it quotes, he's literally the inspiration for the beloved naval cereal mascot, Captain Crunch.
Wow.
Yep.
Good work, Chad.
If you're on
the
Reddit.
Whole subreddit crew.
Yeah.
My last bit of any other business.
Oh, yes.
More business.
More US.
More US. Putting the US into business. There is no US in business,
yeah.
is there?
B-U-S.
Oh, it's right at the top. I knew it. Brain. I doubted it again. So I'm going to the US. But the reason I'm going is there's a big solar eclipse. And my wife is a solar physicist. So yes. Off we go. Mm-hmm. And while I'm there, we were going to drop by New York, see some friends. And I decided to put on an evening of Unnecessary Detail on April 14th. It's a Sunday. I'll be there. Grant Sanderson from 3 Blue 1 Brown.
Yes.
We'll be back. Emma Haruka Awau, who is the current world record holder at the time of record for the number of digits of pi ever calculated by any means.
Mm.
She commandeered a lot of Google Cloud server time because she works there to calculate, oh goodness, I think we're up on 100 trillion digits now.
Wow.
Phenomenal. But Emma's going to come along, and I've seen her talk about how she calculated pi to hundreds of trillions of digits before, and it's so fascinating. And we've got a bunch of other incredible guests. So we're at the Bell House in Brooklyn on Sunday the 14th of April.
Nice.
It'd be great to see a bunch of dinglets there. Dingers, that's what we call you all.
Yeah, dinguses, wasn't it?
Dinguses.
Dingai.
It'd be great to see all you dingai.
Yeah. Come along. I won't be there, but if anyone's in LA, I'll be...
You'll be LA-ing
about. I'll be around. I'm going to be in LA from mid-March until early May.
Yeah.
So I don't have anything booked yet, but you know.
Oh, it'll happen.
Keep an eye out on the socials on Beck Hill Comedian, and I'll announce. Yeah. And before we finish up, we'd like to say a few thanks, some gratefulnesses, appreciation of our Patreon supporters who are the reason that we can continue making this podcast and the reason it's accessible to everyone. So in order to do that, we choose 3 Patreon supporters at random.
Yep.
Using Matt's very...
This spreadsheet of randomness.
Yes. And then thank them. And in this episode, those 3 Patreon supporters are...
Yule Ian. Dream Anne.
Our next one is I'm a Cat.
There you go.
Ema Cat.
Dinas La Sitter. Yes, I pronounced it Dinas. La Sitter.
I can see your Dinas. I'd also like to thank my co-host, Matt Parker.
That's me.
And our fantastic producer, who is also a lot like Pi in that... Without it, stuff wouldn't work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything would be all over
chaos.
The place. Yeah, madness.
No circles. Lauren Armstrong Carter. Thank you very much, Lauren. And thank you to everyone else for listening, especially if you've told other people to listen to this podcast.
You're extra special.
Yeah, thank when you share thank it, you. When you, I see you on the socials tagging us and recommending us to people, it always lightens my mood.
The podcast is like a pyramid scheme. You get half the credit of the people you recommend to listening. Yeah.
I think I don't think it works that way at all. I think you get the same amount of joy when you share it, no matter how many steps it came down to get to you.
Oh, yeah.
So in a way, we're the ultimate get rich screen. I don't know how it works now. I don't know where I was going with that.
We're not getting rich and it's not quick.
No.
So, Beck, I just had to look up and remind myself. This is why I'm on my phone while you were talking at the end there. To remind myself how many dice are in that jar.
Yes.
And I've got the correct number in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
Although I haven't double checked for a while. Maybe people have been helping themselves to the dice. I'll have to check. So, you recently picked 469.
Yeah.
To which I would have said lower.
Oh, which you would have said lower.
Yes. And the lowest one below that is 453. To which I would have said higher. So that's the window we're in now.
Mm.
It's not a big window.
It's not. I could get it.
You could. This could be it.
This could be it. I'm going to say.
Yep.
461.
Mm-hmm. Lower.
Ooh.
Can't be long now.
Not long now.
Before the 100th episode.
Bring it in, baby.